Oh, you look handsome. Ladies. Let's move this a bit. Just all stand up, shall we? That's it. And just close your eyes. As I said 1,000 times, it does all go dark, but that's okay. Just close your eyes. Somebody, kind of, I think on my left, you've had a bladder infection, and God just wants to set you free from that right now. So if you just want to receive that, that'd be kind of cool. You've had it for a couple of days, been a bit irritable, made you a bit irritable, and God just wants to heal you right now. So you just release that right now in Jesus' name. There's somebody else that just in the last 2 or 3 days you've kind of had a discussion with medical people, and God wants to release faith to you. It's a gift. It's a gift of health and life and healing. It's not a gift of kind of compromising or negotiating or just giving in to your physical body. Actually, it's a gift of faith, which is going to bring health to your physical body and life right now. We just release that gift of faith over ourselves right now. It's a gift. We receive it as a gift. We receive it from Jesus, the giver, the life giver, the one that came to give us life in all of its fullness. And I release that right now. There's one of the younger people. Maybe they've gone. It doesn't matter. You might be the parent of the younger person. And they've had a little bit of conflict in the school. A little bit of kind of bullying going on there. And a few people have been saying things and doing things which are just not very good. And Lord just wants you to know as a household that the Lord is your shepherd. He's guiding you right now. He's protecting you right now. He's hemming you in, as it says in the psalm. And what he's saying is no weapon fashioned against your child shall prosper. And right now we break that spirit that's being expressed through that young person right now. We just curse it and we silence it. And we want to thank you, Father, for peace over that young person's life. Father, peace over their sign of education. Father, they're going to be someone of stature in the years to come. And Father, we refuse to let anything steal your plan over their life. That they're going to be bright and wise above their years. They're going to be knowledgeable beyond their own understanding. And Father, we thank you. I think it's a young girl. Father, we want to thank you. You're going to raise them up to be just a pioneer. A pioneer, a creative young person that's just going to download your plans and your purposes. So we rebuke that spirit of violence or aggression towards her right now. We just thank you, Father, for your total reversal of her situation, for your glory and for the honor of your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's just have a sit down. It's brilliant being over here this morning. As you know, we're kind of on the way up. Just put your hands like this. Oh, you look really stupid. That's great. No, put your hands like this and just say, we're going up. Come on, just do it because it looks kind of good. We're going up, do it that way. We're going up, do it like this way. If we had some music, that would be brilliant. We're going up, we're going up. I just love the fact that Jesus Christ is the only God who lives.
Amen.
I know lots of people that worship all kinds of different things, cars, sticks, people, jobs, and better jobs, politicians. How many of you know that Jesus is the only God who lives?
Yes.
How many of you know that? Just give us a wave if you know that. How many of you know that actually he just lives for himself? He actually lives for us. I think that's amazing. Jesus suddenly appeared on the earth, and as soon as he appeared, everything that wanted to steal life began to shake a bit. It's like, hello, something's going to happen now. When Jesus lived his life, they began to suddenly realize, wait a minute, this guy's got power. When he died, they thought, that's it. When he came alive again, they knew for them, that was it.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of good. When you follow the journey of Jesus, I just love it. Because if you're a Christian, if you've got Jesus living inside of you today, we've all been on that journey.
Yeah.
We all appeared. Woohoo, hello. Maybe one day we were a twinkle in somebody's eye. Maybe we've got a twinkle on our own. I don't know. You look as if some of you have. But when we appeared for a reason. All right. Comfy. Lovely. And sometimes We've got to diet certain things. We've got to give up certain things. We've got to forsake certain things. And Jesus even said that. If you're really going to be a Christian, you've got to diet stuff. And can I just suggest this morning, as we get into the Word, because we do use the Bible occasionally, and that if we're really going to live for God and make a difference, we've got to die to things that don't make a difference. That was profound, wasn't it? It gets better. I will keep you awake for a bit. Pastor Paul and Claire asked me to come across, which again, we love to do. It's the first time I brought Janet with me, so that's kind of nice. It means that we were both travelling in the same car in the same direction, which is unusual because quite often we're in different directions. We live like that as well sometimes. Not often, thanks be to God. Amen. Who keeps saying amen? That's good. Excellent. But it's just great for both of us to be here with you. And we brought a bunch of really quiet, kind of boring students, really. But I mean, they're really quiet, aren't they? No response at all. Really quiet. I'm going to pull it out of you. But Pastor Paul was saying that you've been kind of looking through the Gospel of Matthew. Is that right? Or is he just setting me up? Okay. And now, thanks. And now you're on chapter 17. Is that right? So we'll turn there then. This will be surprising for you. He only told me that you're in chapter 17 about a day ago. That's not true. It was 2 days ago. So we're going to have a look at the chapter of Matthew 17. And hopefully by the grace of God, God's going to pull out some things from the Word and also pull out some things from us. I believe God is going to kind of reveal some things out of His Word, but also reveal some things out of us. Because I believe the kingdom of God, it is only the kingdom that brings out the real you. Yeah. All right, the lady came up a little while ago and said, have you got a title for the message? And I said, actually, I don't. I haven't made one up yet. But I have now. The kingdom reveals the real you. How many of us would say that maybe in our church life, maybe in our work life, maybe in our home life, maybe in our life, we kind of present ourselves in a certain way? Maybe it's just me. We like people to see us in a certain way. We like people to see us in a certain light. But maybe in our head, we're asking the question, if they only knew who I really was. Come on, is that just me? Come on. How many people here are sitting here thinking, if only he knew what I was really like? Okay, just three of us. Thank you. The rest of you is a spirit of deception in the place. We break it out of you right now in Jesus' name. How many of us just go through life and kind of at the end of the day, when we're behind the doors of our home, the doors of our life, we just take the makeup of our life off and we just chill out and flop out and just slob out? Come on. And maybe we think that's the real us. Can I just suggest, and as we look through Scripture, that as kingdom people, the real you is bigger than the one that people see. Is that okay? As we look into this scripture, can I just suggest that as a Christian, the real you is greater than the one people might see today? In other words, it's not less than people see. The real kingdom person is more than maybe people see. Hallelujah. So we're in Matthew chapter 17. I'm reading out of this. This is brilliant. But it is a little bit for me like finding my way around. Again, because I normally use the Needy Infallible Version, the NIV, which I've also got here. So we're going to read that and this. Is that all right? Yeah. Are you sure? Okay, it says in verse 1, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John. I love that. I think it's great that Jesus, in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of busyness, can have time with three people. How many of you want to be those three people this morning? Man, how many of you kind of love God and you know that God's around, but maybe you don't know that Jesus is here for you this morning like these guys do? But how many of us here would really love to bring a couple of mates and just have time out with Jesus? Come on, just put your hands up. Let me see. You will have to respond, otherwise I'll throw stuff. So this, for me, is the normal way in which we show who the real Jesus is you've got to show somebody. I think one of the challenges for us as people is that we love to meet with Jesus in our own room, but we've got to bring people into our room. It's great to have Jesus in this place this morning. It's brilliant. But man, I want to bring two other people with me. In other words, part of the real you is that we can't live on our own. The kingdom, Jesus, who now lives in me, does not expect me to live that on my own. But he expects us to live it with others. Are you following me this here? Just nod, it's all right. It'll be over quicker if you just nod. Peter, James, and his brother John went up a high mountain. Oh, hello. High mountains in Crawley, where are they? Buckham Woods, no, not high enough. The Hawth, no. I believe the real you, the real me, lives on a mountain, not in a valley. I believe as a Christian, God in his tremendous power has raised up the valleys and put us onto a mountain. I believe as a Christian and as church, God wants you and I to know we live on a mountain. It's not that we're way above everything else in a wrong way, but God wants us to live there so we can see over it in the right way and respond by what we see. In your workplace, you're on the mountain in your workplace. You're not under the mountain of pressure and salary and the fear of unemployment, but you're on the mountain of the Lord with Jesus. In your household, you're not under the mountain of pressure of home and finances and salaries and house prices doing this and who's going to be voted in the next election. But actually, you're on a mountain with God in your home. In your, I was going to say old age, but there's nobody here that's old. In your growing years, the silver surfers of life. You might be on the mountain of people forgetting who you are or kind of neglecting you or considering that you've had your go and you've now at the end of your time. But actually, if you're a Christian, you're on the mountain of your life. These are your best years.
Hallelujah.
So I believe this speaks to me about the kingdom reveals the real you. Verse 2, it says, there he was transfigured. That's Jesus, of course. He was transfigured or transformed. But can I just suggest to you that these three people were about to see who the real Jesus was? And let me tell you that they weren't going to find a Jesus that was less than the Jesus that they knew before. They were going to find a Jesus that was more than they found before. He was transformed. He was revealed. He became see-through. Do you know the difference between see-through and opaque? Opaque can make you think what's on the other side, but see-through means you know what's on the other side. And I believe as Christians and as church, we've got to learn to live like see-through people. We're see-through. We're transparent. Hallelujah. That actually we don't have a fear of if people knew what I was really like, what would they say? Because we've realized that God has put something in you which is of more value, more worth than anything that you can say. Is there's gold inside of you. There's precious stones, there's diamonds inside of you, there's platinum, uranium, there's all kinds of stuff inside of you and inside of me if you know Christ this morning. There's eternal things, things which will never go rusty, things which will never run out, things which will never change, things which will always be the same, things which will always go up, not down, over, not under. That's the real you and that's the real me if you know Christ this morning. Yes. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. I'm reading out of this, okay? It sounds different out of that. He was transfigured before their eyes. His face was radiant. Zing, 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 zing. It's great, isn't it? Do you just love that? That whole imagery of this Jesus. He's been born on the earth as a man. He's grown up as a young person. He's grown up as an adolescent and gets left at church one day by his parents and ends up teaching a Bible study. Oh, brilliant. He ends up as a carpenter doing all kinds of stuff. He ends up raising dead people and he ends up feeding loads of people. He ends up feeding the one and the thousand. And then suddenly he's transformed. and what they found was greater than what they'd ever seen before in their entire life.
Yes.
His face was radiant. Do you like that?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you want something that's really scary? Is that yes or no? Do you want something that's really scary?
Yeah.
So's yours. Okay, I'll show you. Let's turn to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. It's near 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. In the truth, it's on page 360. It could be anywhere in your Bible. I really haven't a clue. You're like this. I love the fact that Jesus' face was shining.
Yes.
But what I've got to deal with is so is mine. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 16. As soon as someone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed and he can understand the truth. That's brilliant. In other words, something becomes see-through.
Yeah.
The Bible isn't really hard work. It's got life in it. The Word of God has got truth in it and it's see-through. It's brilliant. Then it goes on. Now, the Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord God, and where he is present, people have been set free. It's see-through.
Yes, yes.
It's freedom in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And it goes on, so our faces are not covered. Say, my face isn't covered.
My face isn't covered.
All veiled. But we all are able to reflect the Lord's glory. So your face is shiny. It's not shiny like his was shiny, but it is shiny. I believe if we allow the kingdom to reveal the real you, you don't need makeup products. Would you like to know why? All right, I won't tell you then. Would you like to know why? In your face, you only use 4 muscles to smile, but over 30 to look like some of you are now. Hello? You only need 4 muscles to smile, to be shiny, but you need over 30 to look unhappy. So can I suggest to you that we save ourselves a fortune, because you are worth it, and we allow the kingdom life to make our face shiny. Oh, yeah. Come on, every time you look in the mirror. We did this song earlier. You make my morning into dancing. Is that right? Can I suggest that you use a different word, morning, as in first thing in the day? Because I do that. In the morning, I wake up determined to look happy. Because the morning has turned my morning. It's true, isn't it? There you go. My wife bears witness because I wake her up at blob o'clock in the morning. Oh, come on, you've turned my morning into dancing. Hello, hallelujah. So when some people say, what are you like first thing in the morning, you might not want to know. Because I'm up there. I'm on the mountain. I'm looking out over the day saying, I'm going to do that, I'm going to have that, I'm going to believe that, and I'm going to see that. My face is radiant. Oh, hallelujah. My morning has made me dance. Oh, I need to find every leg. My morning, careful. You turn my morning into dancing. Can I just suggest that the kingdom that lives in you, if you're a Christian this morning and in me, makes your mornings like that? The difference is we've either got to see through it or see life instead of it. Some of us might think Friday's the best day of the week. Why? Because it's got the weekend after it. I don't want to be a weekend. I want to be strong, not a weekend. Weekend people end at the back. Week. I'm not a weekend. I'm a strong person. I want Mondays to be just as good as Fridays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays and Sundays. Because I'm living on the mountain and the kingdom determines what day I have, not the day. So the real day for me is more real than the real day might be for you. Well, I've got this thing today, or I've got that today, or I've got to pay this bill, or I've got to, well, for me, and I believe for all of us, we can change that to actually today, I can make a difference. Today, somehow, God can use me. Today, somehow, God will speak to me. Today, somehow, God will speak through me. Is this making some sense? So when we read in Matthew 17, go back there again, if you would. When it says his face shone like the sun, I believe our face is supposed to shine like the sun too. So do you brighten up someone's day? You brighten up someone's grey day. You brighten up someone's black day. You brighten up someone's bright day. Because I believe the kingdom of God has a different light within it. And that's what you have got. That's what I've got. That's why as church, Jesus says, no, you're to be like a light on a hill. Hallelujah. Man, you're on the mountaintop of God here today. All of Crawley is looking at you to say, let me see this God. And they might not be saying that, but they're saying that. On the mountain of Crawley, looking out over the houses, estates, and the schools, and the businesses, and the colleges, and the people that are doing stuff in the dark. And have you noticed, everybody does bad stuff in the dark. Have you noticed that? You know when society is changing, when the bad stuff in the dark starts becoming the bad stuff in the light? Well, how many of you know that as Christians, we've got to let our light shine before men? Because the light of this kingdom is brighter than every dark place. It's brighter than any demonic place. It's brighter than any oppressive place. It's brighter than any occult or default or anything. The kingdom that is in you and in me as a Christian is brighter. Come on. If any of you believe any of this stuff, I'm just kind of reading this out of here. Some of you look more as if your thought muscles are working now. I'm just going to keep preaching until I can see your teeth. But don't take them out, all right? Just keep them in your mouth, that's fine. It goes on, his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. That's cool, isn't it? I don't know what he was using. Persil, Daz, I really don't know. Make sure clothes shine whiter than white. But can I just tell you that the kingdom that's in you is just as light as this? I'll show you that as well. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Pastor Paul said, I've only got a day to speak. This is the day.
Hallelujah.
Chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, your spiritual light, let it be evident to all around you. Maiden Bower, Ifield, Pound Hill, Bewbush, Broadfield. Man, you're the light in those places.
That's right, yeah.
Manor Fields, other fields, anybody's fields. You are the light of those fields. I just love the fact that when Jesus revealed himself in Matthew 17, he was giving me a bit of an idea of how I'm supposed to live every day. It's interesting that through this story, Peter, who kind of does weird things, he said, come on, let's build three tents. Now, for me, that was just too intense. Sorry, that's as good as I get. What Peter was saying is, this is brilliant. This is fantastic. Let's stay here and see what happens next. Can I tell you that as a Christian, we're not supposed to live like that? It's easy to do that. We have a great time on church. We have a great time at the prayer meeting. We have a great time in our own quiet time, and we build a tent there. We're supposed to take our tent with us. We just sat and it's like, that was brilliant. It's great when this guy came. I didn't have a clue what he was saying, but man, it sounded kind of whatever. Let's stay in Sunday. No, we're not supposed to stay in Sunday. We're not supposed to stay at the prayer meeting. We're supposed to go into the life of people's lives. But it's easy to say, let's build tent. Let's go to faith camp and just enjoy the experience in August, September, October. No, we're supposed to take the experience in there, not live in it in camp. This was the kind of the thinking that Peter had. It's like, this is great, this is brilliant. Jesus is all glowy and shiny and everything. Let's stay around here and see what happens. And then you hear something incredible. I love us all just to look at these scripture, this particular verse, together, because this is amazing, because this isn't me speaking. This isn't even Jesus speaking. This is God himself speaking, who is alive today and rules over everything. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
We're in verse 5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said. Wow. Man, I don't know how you kind of see clouds. A couple of weeks ago, you know, we said to Iceland about 6 months ago to the bank, send us your cash. And what they sent instead was not cash, it was ash. Now, I don't know whether it's because there's a translation from English or Norwegian that went a bit funny. I really don't know. Or Iceland, I don't know. But what I do know is there was a cloud over Europe and people saw it and responded in a particular way. You might have a cloud over your life. It might be despair. It might be sickness. It might be goodness knows what. It might be what's next. It might be who am I. But can I tell you, inside this cloud, you'll hear a voice speaking to you. As a Christian, we're supposed to live in a cloud.
Yeah.
It's a cloud that speaks. And can I just suggest that this cloud has got light in it. It's not dark. It's not terrifying. It's not mysterious. It's got life in it because God's in it.
Yeah.
As a Christian, we're supposed to live with a sense of cloud. It's a sense of the presence of God. It's a sense of something which I know is there, but I can't quite touch it. Not a cloud of, oh dear, despair, despondency, disease. But this cloud, it says, it spoke. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, and I love this, could you just find this scripture with me? It's in verse 5. Because it's only the second time in the entire ministry of Jesus that you hear this verse said. First time was when he was baptized. This is the second time. Here's some clues on how you and I can allow the kingdom to reveal the real you. First one is this. This is my son. The real you, the real me, is possessed by God the Father, and he knows that a father. We're not orphans. We're not lost. We're not wanderers. We're not here just to make up space. But we're part of God's family. We're not here just to suck in oxygen and blow out CO2 and cause global warming, if you're into that. But actually, you're here and I'm here as sons. I love that. God wants you to know he wants to own you in the right sense of that word. Not possess you and make you do stuff, but man, he wants you to know his love just wants to own you. This is my son. If we can kind of just accept that reality, it's like, I'm a son of God. It will change our world. Because God never forsakes sons. He never leaves sons. He never lets sons down. This is my son. And it goes on. Whom I love. That's powerful. I don't know how many times between us we've said to someone, I love you, but not like this. Because this love has no conditions, it has no limits, it will always find you. And it always changes you when it finds you. We sang a song earlier, it's a bit of an old song, but it's great, it says nothing. Is impossible for you. Remember singing that one? Do you want to know what that means? It means it's impossible for God to leave nothing alone. It's impossible for God to leave nothing as nothing. It's impossible for God to leave you alone. It's impossible for God to leave you sick, to leave you desperate, to leave you desolate. It's impossible. It's impossible for God to leave a non-Christian as a non-Christian. He wants to do something. It's impossible for God to leave nothing as nothing. I like that. Why? Because his love never fails, never gives up. And as kingdom people, we're loved with that kind of love. Can anybody say amen or hallelujah or rubbish or anything? Then it goes on. I am well pleased. This is a bit of a funny one. This is God who made everything, created everything, thought of everything, designed everything, got everything right, so right that he said, that's really good. And what he speaks about you and me is, I think you're all right. I think you're going to make it. I think you're going to succeed. I think you're going to get through. I think you're going to finish. I think you are big enough for the job. Because as an engineer from a pre-incarnated life, my wife married an engineer. Now she's ended up with me. Praise the Lord. Pray for her. Is as an engineer, and if those of you are involved in fabrication or structural or surveying, is you know as well as I do that every piece of material used for anything needs to be proven. What I mean by that is it needs to be guaranteed that it's going to do, in terms of stress and structure, what it's been designed to do. Even down to an egg. A little line on it. Have you seen those now? We have those now, don't we? Little line stamped on eggs. Where'd you buy your eggs from? What that means is when you see that little egg with that little stamp on it, it's going to make a brilliant omelette or a brilliant souffle. In other words, it's not going to be rubbish. It's going to be fit for purpose. In other words, that egg has been proved. You understand that? It's fit for purpose. Do you all understand that? What God is saying is, as a kingdom person, you've been stamped fit for purpose. Normally, I'll get a bit of a response when that one, because it's kind of, oh, that's brilliant. It's that God has said, you're fit for purpose.
That's right.
Another song we sang earlier, I'm trying to unpack it, is we are hard pressed but never crushed. Why? Because you're fit for purpose.
Yes. Yeah.
We might be getting a bit of grief, but we'll never give up because we're fit for purpose. Yeah. We might be getting hassle at work, but you'll never give in to it because you're fit for purpose. You might be getting all kind of abuse. The world might be throwing everything at you, but because you're in the kingdom, the real you is fit for purpose. Your life might be going down the proverbial toilet, but let me tell you, the kingdom makes you fit for purpose. You'll never go around the bend. There's a good one there as well. You missed that one. This last bit, can you kind of all laugh at the same time, because it's really annoying? Because what happens is I keep going, and then the person at the back gets it, and you have to kind of stop. It's a bit like Revelation. It's like the person in front is like, yeah, I get that. 5 minutes later, the one at the back, I get that. Can we just all get it at once? It's just easier.
We'll try.
Are you being encouraged yet?
Yes.
I am. I haven't heard this before. It's brilliant. Well, I think it's brilliant. This last little phrase that God speaks, we don't hear at the baptism. And what God says is, listen to him. Cool, hello. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I thought, cool, what is it that I need to listen to? Are any of you thinking that? Okay, it's just, Paul, it's just you and me. Just go with me, just in your head, just say this, what do I need to listen to? Now just say it out loud so I know you're doing it. Let me show you what they need to listen to. For me, two key things. First one, get up. You got that? The next thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth is get up. Verse 7. But what did Jesus do before he said anything? He came to them and touched them. Oh, come on! A kingdom person inside of you, Jesus will come to them and touch them.
Yes.
Yeah. He'll come right into your world, right into your crisis, right into your problem, right into your despair. Jesus will come into your world and touch it.
Amen.
There is no other God like that. Because every other God is dead. You've got to go to them and you've got to touch them. Jesus is alive. He'll come into you, life, and touch it.
Right.
Then he'll say, get up. I believe the real you is someone that just gets up. Inside. You're not just going to lay back and say, oh, well, that's just how it is. You're not just going to comply. But there's someone inside of you, the real you, that gets up. You begin to pray. You begin to speak the word. You begin to love even if it hurts. You begin to give even though it's painful, it's costly. One of the reasons why it's great to laugh when you give for me is that sometimes I've got nothing to give. I'm just going to give because it's funny how God's going to supply. Sometimes I might feel as if I've got loads of money. I'm just going to keep giving with a laugh because I want to see what God's going to do with it. Either way, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Because the world might be telling you, don't give. The kingdom says, give, and it shall be given back. There is an economy in your life which you'll never outgive. Why? Because Jesus comes to touch you, and he says, get up. What's the second thing that Jesus says? Don't be afraid. Oh, hello. Did you find? Read it yourself. I'm not making it up. God says, listen to what Jesus is going to say. What's the first thing he says? Get up. What's the second thing he says? Don't be afraid. I think that's kind of interesting. I think that's kind of inspiring. I think that's kind of exciting. That the real you. Yeah, they might be down, but they'll get up. The real you, yeah, they might be going through a tough time, but they'll tough it out. The real you might be having hardship, but the real you will never be broken. It might be that the real you is kind of doesn't really know what the future is, but man, you've got one and it's brilliant. And the second part is when you get up and face it, is you're facing it without fear. The real you is not a fearful person. How do I know that? Because God didn't give you a spirit of fear. I know what he didn't give you, because he didn't give it me either. Are you getting something out of this? Because, man, we're not going to go through all the rest of Matthew 17, because I think there's enough here to keep us going for years. But the kingdom reveals the real you. What is the real you? You're a mountain liver. The mountain is designed for you to bring Jesus into and people to come with you. What happens on that mountain? You become see-through and your face is shiny. In your workplace, you're the shiny one. In your school, you're the bright one. In your marriage, you're the shiny one. That's you. How you live is there's light in your life and life in your light. Why can we live like that? Because God wants to make sure we know we're owned, because we're sons. Do not fear, little flock, for my Father has been pleased to give you and me a kingdom. We might act like sheep sometimes, but there's a great shepherd. We might just get scared really easily, like sheep do, but there's a great shepherd. We're loved with a passion and with power. I'm giving you a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. The real you as a power of love within you. To love the unlovable, to love the untouchable. That's the real you and that's the real me. Then it goes on and says, and I'm pleased. Man, there's some part of you that God's already stamped and said, you're fit for purpose, you're all right. You'll get through this. You'll end up on top. You're the head, not the tail.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he says, come on, get up. Go on then. Got to finish now. Let's get up, shall we? Yvonne, you're brilliant, you are. She's getting married soon. She's really excited, I can see. Let's just get up, shall we? It's 2 minutes to 12, and I will be finishing at 12. Is that right, Julian? Julian's a great guy. He didn't lose any of his strength when he had his hair cut. But he has saved 1 hour getting ready in the morning, so it's brilliant. That haircut was worth 400 quid. Did he tell you? Did he tell you the story? I'm not going to tell you the story, but that haircut cost someone £400. I'd have done it for a tenner. But anyway, just close our eyes, shall we?
Thank you, Lord.
I love the fact that we've responded by getting up. But can I just release this other word over you, which is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fear the world. Don't fear the future. Don't fear what's coming into your life, because the kingdom of God in you is the real you. It's not what touches you. It's what touches them through you. This spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind, that's the real you. If you're a Christian, then that power is in you if you've received that power of the Holy Spirit. This power that will bend but never break It will always seek and find. Accepts. Hallelujah. That's this love that's at work in our lives as a kingdom person. That's the real you. Father, I want to thank you right now for your spirit in this place. I thank you that you came, that we would have life and life in all of its fullness. That we stand as sons, as loved and approved people. Father, I pray right now that if there's anybody on this mountain right now, this mountain at the Oriel Center, and they don't know who you are, they don't know that you died for them and you live for them and you want to give your life for them. If they don't know that, Father, just speak to them right now in their own heart and in their own mind and let them show that you're for them. You want to give them a kingdom which will never wear out or fade out. Father, I want to thank you for those of us that already know you, Jesus. Let us be quick to respond when you say, get up, we'll get up. And when you say, don't be afraid, we won't be afraid. And I believe really that's all God is asking of us. It's just we get up, we just pray, we begin to make a difference. We begin to sow, we begin to pray, we begin to speak, we begin to give, we just get up. We begin to make a difference in our own world, we make a difference in our own situation, and we do that with a confidence, not with fear. Father, I just silence right now every voice of intimidation, fear, worry, anxiety, right now in Jesus' name. Just come against every lying thing, every deceiving thing, everything that's trying to speak negativity over our hearts and minds. I break it right now. I want to thank you that your kingdom is positive. It's full of light. It's full of life. It's full of power. It empowers us to get up and shine. It empowers us to get up and be bright as lights to society. And I thank you for that anointing, that enabling of your Spirit's power right now on our lives. That Jesus, you came and touched our lives. Jesus, do it again now. Right now. Come into our world, touch them, change them, so that they're never the same again. Father, I want to thank you that the future is bright. It's not orange, it's Jesus. The future is up. The future is over. The future, you are going to change nothings into somethings. You're going to change nobodies into somebodies. And Father, we thank you that ultimately you will receive all of our glory, all of the praise and all of the honor, because you alone are worthy, Jesus. Let's give him a great big shout and a clap. Oh, hallelujah, we praise your awesome name, oh God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, just while we're standing, we just so appreciate what we're allowing God to do in our lives. Just encourage you. God does know what he's doing. He's the master of timing.
Yes.
We're pretty rubbish at it, you may have noticed. But we're praying for you guys over here in, as you kind of represent the whole congregational life in Crawley, that you succeed.
Amen. Amen.
You succeed.
Yes.
And can I just encourage you in the morning when you look in the mirror, if any of you do. I mean, some of you maybe spend too much time there. Maybe some of you avoid it. I don't know. But whenever you look in the mirror, just make some decisions that my morning is going to be dancing. Today's going to be the best I've ever had.
Yeah.
Today I'm going to end it having seen some fruit.
Yeah. Amen.
It's going to be a good day.
Amen.
Now, if we can convince ourselves, you'll convince everybody else.
Yeah.
How many of you every now and again say, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice?
Yes.
How many of you say that sometimes?
Yeah.
Sometimes we say that to convince ourselves. Can I just suggest that you do it before you start your day?
Yeah.
Just make a decision. Man, I'm going to be cheerful. Yeah. I'm going to hop, skip, dance. I'm going to have a light spirit today. I'm just going to rejoice because I'm alive.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God bless. Appreciate it.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.